This summer, I traveled to the very end of the river. It spills out into the Gulf of Mexico through one main channel. But as I drive towards the Louisiana coast, the solid ground all around me turns into a lacework of water and grass, the land visibly giving way to the Gulf. Along a sleepy bayou, I find David Chauvin, wearing a pair of white rubber shrimping boots.
I live right across the lake right here. A little town called Chauvin, same as my last name.
Yeah, is it named after your family?
It is. Yeah, my family settled there many, many generations ago.
David used to fish for shrimp before starting a seafood processing company. Now he stays on land, waiting for boats to bring him shrimp. The morning I visit, workers just back from 23 days on the water are unloading their haul.
What size is that?
10-15s.
The men hook netted bags of frozen shrimp from the boat's hold and drop them onto a conveyor belt.
All right, let's make a round of you. I introduce you to the captain. Watch you guys.
Captain Jason Dempster says his daily routine on board goes like this.
We go out and we pull four 32-foot nets. We look for shrimp and we go until we find them. When we find them, we got a little 16-foot test net right there that does the testing first.
The fishermen drop the smaller test nets and check if there's any shrimp in the water. If it looks good, they'll let down the big nets and start to trawl, dragging them through the water to trap shrimp. If there's no shrimp, they move on.
We're hunters. We hunt for shrimp. You know, so if we don't see nothing, we keep going.
Jason says there have been times when he went out and hit this dead zone.
So you pull up the net and what's in it?
Nothing. So you
literally
know,
nothing.
I'm talking about nothing. So that's how we know that there's something wrong with this water because there's nothing living in it. And we see that every year.
This trip didn't take him to the dead zone, but it was out there. The dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico is an area of water where the oxygen levels are very low.
So the fish start to thin out, and then once you're on the bottom, you don't see any fish because they've all moved up or moved out of the area.
That's Nancy Rabelais, a scientist with Louisiana State University. She says bottom dwellers like shrimp, crabs, and eels flee their homes.
You see things trying to swim at the surface that don't normally swim at the surface, which means they're trying to get off the bottom and find some oxygen.
Nancy has spent her decades-long career studying the dead zone.
I've just been called queen of the dead zone.
She even has a crown with a dead crab on it and the words hypoxia queen. Hypoxia means low oxygen.
The crown is in gold paint with multicolored gems at the top.
She's been going out to map the dead zone shape and size since 1985, and this year was no different. In July, on a research boat called the Pelican, her team sampled the water, measuring everything from temperature to pH and, of course, oxygen levels.
Once the ship comes on a station, everybody jumps and gets really busy.
She found nearly 9,000 square miles of dead zone, the largest on record. That's about the size of New Hampshire. Actually, it was even bigger than that. She just ran out of mapping time. So, what's going on? In the spring and summer, the Mississippi River swells with rain and melting snow. All that water picks up components of fertilizer along the way and carries them towards the Gulf, the mouth of the river. Stuff like phosphorus and nitrogen.
Most of the nitrogen comes from the upper Midwest, and more than half of it comes from fertilizers used for row crops and other crops.
Agriculture is the biggest polluter. Just like fertilizer makes corn grow well in the fields, in the Gulf, these same nutrients make algae grow. Too much algae.
What we see from the surface is usually really dense, brownish, greenish, sometimes reddish water.
Algae that doesn't get eaten sinks to the bottom, where it decomposes. That process uses up all the oxygen. Normally, oxygen-rich surface waters will help replenish oxygen in the deeper water. But in the summer, a barrier forms between that fresher, warmer water at the surface and the colder, saltier water below. The layers become like oil and water. They don't mix. Those bottom waters become the dead zone. There's some evidence the dead zone makes for smaller shrimp, and the shrimpers like David are struggling because of it. Thing is, you can still find Gulf shrimp on grocery store shelves.
There's no real smoking gun with collapse of a fishery, so there's also no big economic destruction. So that makes it difficult to convince people that the ecosystem is sick.
The fact that farmers upstream are causing harm to people way, way downstream also complicates solutions. When the problem seems far, there's less incentive to fix it. But a government task force has been trying to rein in the dead zone to about 2,000 square miles, closer to the size of Delaware. Sergei Rabotyagov, an environmental economist, says to do that, farmers in the Midwest would have to get conservation savvy.
Establishment of perennial grasses or restoration of wetlands and conservation practices like conservation tillage and so on.
These conservation measures are voluntary and can be expensive. Taking land out of production or using less fertilizer can also be a hard sell. Ultimately, to succeed, Sergei says people need to be convinced to care at the source of the problem.
If we just focused essentially on local water quality, we would, in fact, overachieve the hypoxia reduction goal.
Meanwhile, David Chauvin, the shrimper, is closing out the season for one type of shrimp, the brown shrimp, and getting ready to start fishing for white shrimp.
Some years we have bad years, and we just say, well, it was just a bad year. Nobody can give an explanation for it. Should we attribute it to the fact that the dead zone is the largest this year, that we had a horrible brown shrimp season and the brown shrimp never grew? I don't know.
But he wants the farmers upriver to keep him in mind.
I think it's great that they created a product that can kick up yields to where a farmer can raise a crop and he can maximize what he does, but it's taken away from us down here in the Gulf of Mexico.